Well, it is good to see you here this morning, and we're going to continue on with our series of the light. This series has been going through our Christmas series, and we've been looking at different aspects of the light. We've looked at, first of all, the light created, the light concealed, the light conceived, and today we're going to be looking at the light communicated. And then tomorrow, we're going to be looking at the light celebrated. And so let me encourage you to be here tomorrow. This will be a wonderful time for you to come and celebrate Christmas with us as well. And so I look forward to your return tomorrow. But today, we're going to be looking at the light communicated. And we'll be in Matthew chapter 5. And so if you want to go to open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5, you're welcome to do so. And we'll get there in just a moment. But one of Valerie's favorite things to do at Christmas time is the Christmas lights. She and some of the other ladies, well, actually, her and I went with some friends, and we looked at some Christmas lights in Perth, and we didn't get to all of them, and so she went and took some ladies back a few weeks later, and they've gone and looked at the rest of the lights in Perth, and then she took some more ladies, and she went local and had some look at the local lights here as well, and so she really loves lights, and so she's also decorated our house with lights as well, and but it's actually kind of cool. I don't really necessarily enjoy the decorating part. But as I look at the lights on the trees and the mantles and the garland and the stars so shining so bright and things, I kind of like it. It's just something about the lights that can change the atmosphere in the home and spark some hope within us as well as we think about what Jesus Christ has done for us. Now, as believers, we know that Jesus is called the light. He's the light of the world. In John chapter 8, verse 12, it says, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And Jesus also told his disciples that they would be the light to the world, one that reflects God's light to the world. And so when we see the lights around Christmas time, I think about God's pure light and how he wants us to shine through us as we reflect his glory. And God's light is beautiful, it's pure, and it brings hope in a dark world. And we are drawn to this light. And I pray that somehow God will shine through us this Christmas season. That's my prayer for all of us and for you here this morning. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we look at the light communicated here today, Lord, we are grateful that we even have a light, Lord. We're grateful that we even have a hope. But Lord, this hope isn't just for us. This hope is for mankind, it's for everyone. And so we have the wonderful opportunity to go and to represent your light, to shine your light, Lord, so that they can see you and us. And hopefully they will come to know Christ as their Savior as well. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd help us now as we go out into this world, especially during this time of year, Lord. What a great opportunity as people are already thinking about it. And we have a world, Lord, that's so sort of focused around this Christmas time, not necessarily on your birth, Lord, but that gives us the opportunity, Lord, to share with them what Christmas is about. And so we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity and pray that we can communicate the light to others in Jesus' name. Amen. How often have you gone to a restaurant and had a wonderful, glorious, lovely meal, and you've gone on your social media, you've taken the food selfies, and you've posted them to everybody you know so that they can see the food that you're about to consume and they can drool and over their devices and things as they look at it, right? Or maybe you've called up one of your mates and tell them about this is the best food that you've ever had in a long time. Or maybe it's an event that you went to or a show that you went to, or maybe you went to a grocery store that had a good customer service and prices. Whatever it was, you couldn't help but wait to tell someone about it. I know how important food is to many of you. You know who you are, as it is with me. We love our food. But how does that compare with eternal salvation that has been given to us? If we are willing to share with others where they can get the best curry, wouldn't it be more imperative to share with them where they can find the light of Jesus Christ this Christmas season? Sometimes I think we get a little more excited about sharing places to eat than we do about sharing the gospel of Christ. In fact, when was the last time that you shared your faith with someone else? Think about it. And not just tell them that you're a Christian, and not just tell them that you go to church. But when's the last time you actually opened up your Bible to share the truth of God's salvation with someone else? In Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, it says, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Here are a few things to consider for us to shine the light of Jesus Christ here this morning. First of all, we need to see that the light's confirmed. Not everything about Christmas is a reflection of Christ. And you know that. We know that. Even though there are a few things that are special around Christmas time, they're not to take the place of the light that we must shine. So there is biblical evidence that Jesus is the light, is it not? Let's go and have a look at it. First of all, we have the testimony of Simeon. In Luke chapter 2, verse 25, it says, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when his parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, 'Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples.'" Notice this next bit, "a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel." Here we have three different aspects of the testimony of Simeon I'm going to look at here. First of all, Simeon's promise. Simeon was promised that he would lay eyes on the Messiah before he would pass away. The Spirit came to him and revealed to him that he was going to see the Savior, the Messiah, before he died. Now, we don't really know how old Simeon was at this time. I would imagine him maybe being an old man, maybe coming down to the end, because now he says, "I can die," right? Simeon may have known of the rumors that were going around that something was happening in regards to the coming Messiah. The news of John Baptist's birth and its meaning was widely publicized in Luke chapter 1, verse 65. And then the shepherds who heard the angelic announcement may have kept the temple flocks. And so they may have reported back to what was happening among the people in the temple. However, the scriptures tell us that he came by the Spirit into the temple. It wasn't the rumors, but it was the Spirit who led him into the temple on that day. And so we see Simeon's prompting here. Simeon was a man who knew how to be led by the Holy Spirit, both in learning God's promises to him and being prompted to go into the temple at the right time. Simeon's prophecy is filled with love for his Savior, and it's a child that he hardly knew. This is the first time he's met him. And yet we see his great love for him. Simon didn't have the full revelation of God. Simon didn't have a record of all the wonderful events and miracles that Jesus did or will do. As an act of love, he held the baby up in his arms, and he laid out a prophecy of him. He had so much love for him because it was the awaited Messiah, the one that the Jews have been waiting on for a number of years, if not generations. So he had showed so much love for this little baby boy who would become the Savior of the world. Now let me ask you a question. How often do we express our love to God for the wonderful works that Jesus has done in our lives? You see, Simeon didn't have the whole revelation, but we do. And we can actually go back in the Word of God and we can see all the wonderful things that Jesus Christ has done. In fact, we can even confirm that he was the Messiah. Simeon was looking forward. We get the opportunity to look back and see that Jesus Christ was the light. He was the Messiah. But also we see Simeon's peace as well. Simeon now had the peace of seeing God's promise fulfilled in his life. Imagine if Simeon had said that he was feeling a little bit flat that day. And so he decided not to go to the temple. Well, then he would have missed out, wouldn't he? Or maybe there was another event on that sounded maybe just a little bit more fun. He would have missed out, wouldn't he? He would have missed out on one of the greatest blessings of his lifetime. In fact, he revealed that he could die in peace now as a result of seeing the Savior. There is nothing else in life that was greater than that moment he came face to face with Jesus, the Messiah. That is what an encounter with Jesus will do for us as well. Have our eyes seen the salvation of the Lord? Well, today, we can die with peace if we have seen the Savior, if we have seen Him face to face, if we have come to acknowledge that He is our Savior. We can die today in peace. We can die knowing that we have eternal home in heaven right now, right today. That can be yours today. And it can be one of the most greatest gifts that you could ever receive. It is the gift of salvation. Simeon waited with anticipation for the Lord's first advent. Are we waiting with the same anticipation for the Lord's second advent? When He does appear, we will see Him as He is, and ours will be the thrill of Simeon's experience as he gazed upon his Lord Jesus Christ, and we do the same as we see Him as He is. Are you looking for the Lord's return? Are you looking for the day that you can go and see Him face to face? Oh, man, I tell you what, the longer I live in this world, the more I long to see our Savior. The more I can't wait to get to heaven. But we also see the testimony of John as well. In John chapter 1, verse 4, it says, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shined in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world." Here, John makes a confirmation that Jesus Christ is the light. John the Baptist is the forerunner of Jesus Christ, and he was the one that was chosen to prepare the way for the Messiah. He was not the light, but he was the one that would bear witness to the light. And what did he say about this light? He said that he was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into this world. He identified him in verse 14 as the Word who became flesh and dwelt among us. And so there's no doubt here that John is speaking of none other than Jesus Christ. But also John gives a condemnation with this as well. In John chapter 3, verse 19, he says, "And this was the condemnation, that the light came into the world. Men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God." He says in John chapter 1, verse 9, that the true light gives light to every man. But here now we discover that not every man will accept the light and come into the light because they love darkness rather than light. Jesus is the light, and he offers salvation to every man. Just because man refuses to believe doesn't mean the light wasn't offered, and just because man doesn't believe in Jesus Christ doesn't mean that he wasn't the light. Man's belief does not change the truth of Scripture. John testifies to the fact that Jesus Christ was the light of all men. We see the testimony of deity as well. As we look at the Father in John chapter 5, verse 30, it says, "I can't of myself," Jesus is talking here, "I can't of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own, but the will of the Father who sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another who bears witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true. You have sent to John, and he has bore witness to the truth, yet I do not receive testimony from man, but I say these things that you may be saved. He was the burning and shining lamp that you were willing to hear for a time to rejoice in his light. But I have a greater witness than John's, For the work which the Father has given me to finish, the very works that I do bear witness of me that the Father has sent me, and the Father himself who sent me has testified of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his form, but you do not have his word abiding in you, because whom sent you, him you do not believe. You search the scriptures, for in them you think that you have eternal life. And these are they which testify of me. But you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. Here we see the evidence here of the Father. Jesus is speaking here, and he is saying that you have heard the testimony of John, and you were willing to receive that testimony for a time. But I want you to understand here this morning that there's even a greater testimony than John the Baptist, and it is my Father. My Father himself testifies of me. I am here to do my Father's will. So my Father has given me the work to do, and as that, I am proof that I am who I say that I am. So the works that I do bear witness of me. And the fact that the Father has sent me. And the Father has sent me, and he's testified of me. And Jesus, here Jesus is addressing the Pharisees who were trying to kill him. But they didn't make that connection because they thought, well, in keeping the law, they would have eternal life. They thought that according to the law and in keeping the law, they would have eternal life. But Jesus says, don't you understand that it is the law, it is the scriptures that testify of me? Do you not get that? Have you missed that connection? But you were not willing to come. But also we see the testimony of Jesus himself. Just listen to these verses here as Jesus speaks to us. In John chapter 8, verse 12, it says, "Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, 'I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life.'" In John chapter 9, verse 5, it says, "As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." In John chapter 12, verse 36, it says, "While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of the light." These things Jesus spoke and departed and was hidden from them. And in John chapter 12, verse 46, "I have come as the light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness." Here, these are the words of Jesus Christ. And we see time and time again, he is testifying to the fact that "I am the light." And so we can confirm the light here this morning that Jesus is the light. And whenever John talked about Jesus being the light, Jesus didn't correct him. He didn't say, "Oh, hang on, John, you're making a mistake there." He confirmed the truth of John. In fact, he even went one step further and he claimed to be the only light. In John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the light. No man comes to the Father except through me." He is the only light. It doesn't say that he plus somebody else. He's not talking about Allah here. He's not talking about Confucius. He's not talking about any other religious leader in our world today saying that they can be the light. He says, no, to their exclusion, he's saying, "I am the light." Not even Santa Claus is the light. Jesus is the light. And he is the only way to the Father. The light is the only one that can give you and me life. And Jesus claims to be the only way. But we also have the testimony of Paul as well. In Acts chapter 26, verse 22, it says, "Therefore, having obtained help from God, to this day I stand witnessing both to small and great, saying no other thing than those which the prophets and the Moses said would come, that the Christ would suffer, that he would be the first to rise from the dead and would proclaim light to the Jewish people and to the Gentiles." The Apostle Paul proclaimed that Jesus was the light. I mean, why would a man hating Christianity to the point where he goes and he persecutes Christians and he goes and puts them in jail, he puts them to death, why would he go from that extent to then being the one who proclaims Jesus Christ and he preaches Jesus Christ even at his own suffering? What would make that change in his life? What would make the difference? If you remember, he was on the road to Damascus and on his way to expand his crusade against the Christian persecution, he came face to face with the light. And a voice from heaven asked Paul, then he was named Saul, Why are you persecuting me? Why are you persecuting me? And then Paul asked, well, who are you? Who is speaking here? And the light said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. And because of that encounter, Paul no longer persecutes the light, but he proclaims that Jesus was and is the light. So before we can go and share the light, we must confirm in our own hearts that it is Jesus that is the light. And here, we have just a fraction of biblical evidence and the testimony that Jesus Christ is indeed the light. But next, let's look at light discovered. The light discovered. I love to see the reaction of people when they finally get it. If you've ever experienced that, you know what I'm talking about. When the penny drops or when the light globe comes on in the brain and Jesus was with his disciples and after hearing some hard sayings of Jesus Christ, many of it found very difficult to commit to following Jesus Christ. They got to hearing things about what Jesus was saying and what life would be like. And they're like, you know what? That's probably a little too much for me. And they begin to walk away. And we see the testimony of Peter here in John chapter 6, verse 67. It says, then Jesus said to the 12, do you want to go away also? You can imagine maybe Jesus was maybe getting a little bit discouraged here after he goes and preaches all these people who said that, yes, I want to be your disciple. And he goes and he says these hard sayings. And then they begin to walk away. He turns to his disciples and says, are you going to leave as well? Do you want to go as well? But Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? I love that response. I love that response. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and to know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter grasped this truth that not only was Jesus the light, but there was no other that could provide eternal life. Even though being a disciple of Jesus wasn't easy, Peter resigned in his heart that Jesus was the only way he could receive eternal life. And as a spokesperson of the rest of the disciples, he testified that we have come to believe and to know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Listen, they didn't just believe it. It wasn't just a fairy tale that they just chose to believe. No, they knew it. The evidence was so overwhelming that they knew that he was the Christ. And in fact, most of these disciples actually gave their lives for that belief. But also we have the Samaritans. Jesus visits Samaria with his disciples. And while his disciples went into town, Jesus waited by the well where he encountered a woman there at the well. He engaged her in a spiritual conversation and he offered her eternal life. And then she went back into town telling everyone that this man that she met was the Christ and had told her everything that she had ever done. And she invited them to come and say, could this be the Christ? Come and see. Come on. Isn't this Christ? And many believed her testimony and they came out to see if this indeed was the Christ. And in John chapter 4, verse 42, then they said to the woman, now we believe. Now we believe, not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. And by the way, this was not an invitation from a woman who was well respected in her community. This was not a woman who was much loved in her community. This was not an upstanding pillar in her community. This woman that gave the invitation to the townspeople was from a questionable reputation. She had multiple lovers. And when Jesus exposed her sin, she believed he was the Messiah, and she couldn't help but go and tell others about it. That's the reaction of those that have been saved from sin. Notice Andrew in John chapter 1, verse 40. One of the two heard John speak and followed him. And Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, first found his own brother Simon and said to him, we have found the Messiah, which is translated the Christ, the anointed one. Once Andrew discovered the light, he had to go and tell his brother. And he tells him, we have found the Messiah. This was the desire of every Jewish person. For generations, they have been looking for the Messiah. And he goes and says, we have found the Messiah. What excitement and joy that must have brought to Andrew and to Peter. And he went and shared the good news with his brother. Over and over again, once an individual discovers the truth that Jesus is the light, they are excited to share that good news with other people. But also, we see the light communicated. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, it says, so let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. First of all, we see personal possession. Notice in the verse here, it says, let your light. You see that? Let your light. Before you can effectively share Christ, you must first possess Christ. You cannot give what you do not have. And you might recommend a restaurant to someone that someone else has recommended to you. But your recommendation is going to be a bit weak if you haven't experienced it for yourself. And the only way to give an answer of the hope that lies within you with meekness and fear is for you to have that hope within you. We can't effectively share a hope that belongs to someone else. If I were to recommend a restaurant and you were to ask me what dish would you recommend, well, if I haven't experienced it myself, then how can I explain how wonderful a certain dish is if I haven't tasted it myself? I cannot say, taste and see that the Lord is good if I haven't tasted His goodness in my own life. We got to have that personal possession, but also that personal expression. So let your light shine before men, it says. To be effective, we must speak and display the Christian distinctives. We can never affect this world for Jesus by becoming like the world. This word shine here is in the active voice, which means that the subject is the doer, the performer of this action. That means you. You are responsible to shine your light, the light that God has given to you. It's also in an imperative, which means that it represents a command. We are commanded to shine our light. Jesus never challenges us to become salt and light. He just simply says that we are. And we are either fulfilling or we are failing in that responsibility. There was a little fellow, I heard a story of a little fellow that accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, and he was heading off for summer camp, and that camp wasn't a religious-based camp. So he went and talked to his pastor about it, and they prayed together that his life might really be strong for Jesus while he was there in the camp with all the other kids. And after he'd come back from his camping experience, the pastor said, well, Johnny, how did your experience go? And he says, oh, it went great. And the pastor said, that's good. He says, nobody found out. Was that the point? Nobody found out? Is this the approach that we take with our Christian faith? Are we happy to be a Christian as long as nobody else finds out about it? Growing up, I used to hear Christians all the time say, well, religion is a personal matter. And that was their way of saying that, or at least the excuse they were using, not to share their faith. They say it's a personal matter. Let's go back and look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 15. What does it say? Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. The Lord said, you don't light a candle to put it under a bushel, don't put it under a basket. You light a candle to put it on a candlestick to give light to all that are in the house. The one purpose of the light is to give light, to show people. Therefore, the one purpose that God has for you is that you might give light to a dark world. But also we see personal engagement. Let's go back to verse 16. Matthew 5, verse 16 says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That they may see your good works and glorify who? What does it say? Your Father which is in heaven. Now, it is possible for a person to let their light so shine that people will see their good works, and they are the one to get glorified. Oh, isn't he so wonderful? Oh, did you see that? Oh, isn't that marvelous? Didn't you hear what he did? There is a way by which we can do good works before men and draw attention to ourselves and to bring honor to ourselves. And there is something very perverse about our flesh here that wants to bring attention and honor to ourselves. Now, as we read through the Gospels and we study the ministry of Jesus Christ, we see where the multitude came to him and he touched them and he healed them in such a way that they went away glorifying God. You see, he did it in such a way that God was glorified as the people saw the good works that he did. So, the Christian life is a fine balance. You're the light of the world, and you are to let your light so shine before men that when they see your good works, they won't be praising and glorifying you, but they will be praising and glorifying your Father, which is in heaven, who has done that work through you. But our world is living in darkness, isn't it? Just look around. I mean, I was talking to even Alan here this morning, and he's like, man, this seems like this has been one of the hardest years. And I believe it has. It's been a tough year. We live in a dark world. Oftentimes, people are not going to come to you, and so you have to go out to them with your light. We are to go out to the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. And in order to do that, we must engage people. We must build relationships with them. We must let them see our light. Most people I have personally led to Christ are those with whom I have pursued a personal relationship with. Most people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And often it is through that caring and loving attitude that you gain permission to speak into another person's life. And once they have seen your light as a reflection of the light of Jesus Christ, then they may be willing to receive the light because of the difference it's made in your life. You are a light bearer, church. You are a light bearer if you have the light of Jesus Christ within you. But with that comes a responsibility to share that light with others. Don't put your light under a basket. Don't try to make it hidden. Remember what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. It says, but even if our gospel is hid, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age is blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservant for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, and has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And he goes on to say in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8, For you were once in darkness, but now you are in our light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. That is command there. We are to walk as children of light. If there's ever a greater time in this world that the light of Jesus should shine, it should be around Christmas time. It should be around Christmas time with all the Christmas decorations, with all the focus on love, joy, and peace. Man, it plays right into our hands so that we can easily share our faith and the light of Jesus Christ with those around us. And we can do so by asking a simple question. What do you think Christmas is all about? May I share with you the beautiful truth of the birth of Jesus Christ? We are not to keep this light to ourselves, but we're to share it with a lost and a darkened world. Let me encourage you as you go out this week, and also throughout your life, to shine the light of Jesus. To be that light. Shine the light of Jesus. One of the blessings of having this light is our opportunity to have communion. The reason we can share our light is because the light became flesh and dwelt among us. He has put to death on the cross the punishment for our sin. He was buried. He didn't stay dead. 3 days later, he rose from the dead. And today we can celebrate his birth. But the scripture makes it clear that we also celebrate and remember his death and his burial and his resurrection, because it is in that redemptive act that we can have salvation. And so here, the day before Christmas, I want to take the opportunity to remember the gift that Jesus Christ has given to us, and that is the gift of salvation. I want to take just a few moments to have a time of examination. If you haven't got one of your cups when you came in, just lift your hand and we'll come around and we'll give you one of the little cups if you'd like to participate in communion here this morning. And so if you need one, just raise your hand real high and we'll make sure you get one. But I think most of you have already gotten it. But before we dive into those, I want to have a time where we examine our hearts. Because the scriptures warn us, he tells us not to take of the Lord's Supper unworthily. What does that mean? That means we need to examine our hearts. We need to see if there's anything in our hearts that we need to confess. Are we right with God? Are we right with others? Do we know Jesus Christ as our Savior? Because this is for believers, not unbelievers. Because we're celebrating what Jesus Christ has done in our hearts. And so if you're here today and you have some things that you need to pray about or things you need to work through, let me encourage you to do that. But I'm going to take just a moment. And again, I'm just going to make an altar up here up front, and I'm just going to take some time and kneel. If you want to come and join me, you're welcome to do so. If you want to turn around and use your chair there as an altar, you're welcome to do that and get on your knees before God and pray. If you want to sit in your chair, that's fine. It's totally up to you as to how you want to do this. But I do want you to examine your hearts here this morning. And I want you to take time to pray. So we're just going to have just a moment of silence here here in just a few minutes to give you that opportunity just to spend time with God and check your heart, but also to thank him for what he has done. Thank you for his body that was broken. Thank him for the blood that was spilt, poured out so that we could have salvation. Let's pray.